Chapter number 63, Public Expenditure, page number 771. Of the two important aspects of public finance, that is public revenue and public expenditure, let us first study public expenditure. This department of public finance received scant attention at the hands of writers on public finance throughout the 19th century. Attention was almost exclusively focused on public revenues. It is only in the present century that it came to be realized that public expenditure is far from important in its implications and bearing on public welfare than public revenue. The main reason for the early neglect of the subject of public expenditure seems to be that the amount of public expenditure was very small as the field of government activity was restricted. Now, public expenditure has reached astronomical figures. Adam Smith had concentrated only on passive role of the government under which a government can support the smooth flow of economies with least interference in economic activities. The government must look after a. expenditure on defense to protect the citizens from external aggression, b. expenditure on internal law and order so as to bring about peaceful functioning of economic activities, c. expenditure of government on administrative activities for bringing about coordination of different economic activities to achieve economic and social welfare, and d. expenditure on certain amount of infrastructure development to help the economy grow. The role of government started increasing with increase in urbanization and industrialization. Even in today's economies, the economic activities of the government is increasing many folds. A. Adolf Wagner, a German economist, stated that the government activities, whether economic or non-economic, starts increasing. This results in an increase in the government expenditure. This may be due to two aspects. 1. Increase in more intensive activities of the existing one, and 2. Increase in additional extensive activities. This can be termed as deepening and widening of the government's activities so as to achieve certain predetermined socio-economic objectives. Public expenditure policy of the government came to the forefront due to the application of Keynesian functional finance approach, which was an intense success in pushing the American economy upwards from the Great Depression. Page number 772. The success of Keynesian theory of pump priming and the application of multiplier effect in accelerating the pace of economic activities boosted the confidence of many governments to increase the public expenditure and achieve its desired results. This concept has increased the active role of government in a welfare state policy, which has resulted in an enormous increase in public expenditure. Peacock and Wisenham came to the conclusion after a thorough study that the increase in public expenditure is not smooth, but it is of a sudden nature. It increases in jerks and stabilizes and so on. Peacock and Wiseman explained the growth of public expenditure and its resulting effect. A. Displacement effect, B. Inspection effect, and C. Concentration effect. Peacock and Wiseman from 1891 to 1955 carried out the study of public expenditure of the United Kingdom. They were of the opinion that due to certain social disturbances, there can be a sudden jump or jerk in the increase of public expenditure. This is referred as displacement effect. Generally, during wartime, the governments are in immediate need of more expenditure on defense requirements, hence this is a kind of jerks. As the economy stabilizes after the increase in public expenditure and the simultaneous increase in taxation by the government, a new fiscal plateau is reached. Here, the government is neither interested in reducing public expenditure nor reducing taxes. Hence, a new equilibrium is reached. This is referred as inspection effect, as the government will review the situation. Once this situation prevails and the economy is settled for some period, this concept may be referred as concentration effect. Again, after a certain period of time, a new social disturbance may occur and a new displacement, inspection and concentration effect may take place. On the y-axis, the increase in public expenditure as percentage of gross national product GNP, and on the x-axis, the time period. PE, the public expenditure increase path. A is the first social disturbance which causes an enormous increase in public expenditure or displacement effect, and after reaching certain point, the economy is about to settle. At this point, the government reviews the situation, and B1 is inspection effect, and once everything becomes normal, the concentration effect takes place. Though the Peacock-Weissman hypothesis is based on their study, and to a greater extent, the natural process of a strong economy is taken into account. In developing countries, there are many continuous jerks in the form of unintentional and intentional. The unintentional jerks are that of Peacock-Weissman's hypothesis due to natural calamities. The unintentional jerks are, in brackets, that of Peacock-Weissman's hypothesis, close brackets, due to natural calamities, wars and civil disturbances, etc. On the other hand, the intentional public expenditure is that of for political reasons or maybe depending on social and cultural expenditure. In developing countries, it has become a regular feature of increase in public expenditure with jerks which may or may not be for economic purpose or for the human resource development. Causes of increase in public expenditure. In recent times, public expenditure has increased enormously. The main reason is that the functions of the state have increased manifold. In the past, the state was regarded only as a police state. In the past, the state was regarded only as a police state concerned with defense from foreign aggression and maintenance of law and order within the state. Now, the state is regarded as a welfare state which is concerned with promoting the welfare of its citizens. As such, it has to provide not only social security, but it also has to look to economic stability and economic growth, which calls for ever-increasing investment expenditure. The following are the principal causes of growing public expenditure. 1. Increase in area and population. In the first place, the increase in public expenditure is due to the fact that the physical boundaries of the state have been widened. No man's lands have been brought under organized government. Also, in certain cases, even if the area has not increased, the population figures have considerably increased. Governments have, therefore, to cater to the needs of millions of more people scattered perhaps over a much wider area. 2. Growth of state functions. As already pointed out, the modern states are no longer police states concerned mainly with the maintenance of law and order. They are now regarded as welfare states. This has resulted in a tremendous increase in their functions. While old functions are being performed more intensively, such as administrative functions and functions relating to internal security and protection against aggression, but numerous new functions are being undertaken. Example, optimum utilization of national resources, economic growth, and reduction of economic inequalities. Page number 773. 3. Higher price level and the rising cost of public services. Another reason which accounts for the mounting public expenditure is the higher price level. Persons who have seen good old days in India or have heard about them tell us that there was a time when ghee was selling at 4 anas a sear, whereas now it sells at 20 rupees per kg. There has been a similar rise in prices of other commodities. Governments, like individuals, therefore, have to find larger amounts of money to pay for the commodities and the services they have to purchase. 4. Increase in national wealth. There has been almost a continuous improvement in agriculture, trade and industry in every country, though in some countries like India it has been painfully slow. There has been a steady increase in the per capita income and consequently an improvement in the standard of living. There has also been a corresponding improvement in public revenues and public expenditure. 5. Ability to tax. In a low-income economy, it is difficult to impose and collect taxes. But as economy develops, a much wider range of taxes becomes available to the state, and as state revenue swells, public expenditure increases. Ability to tax raises the ability to spend. 6. War and prevention of war. We know it to our cost how costly we know to our cost now how costly a modern war is. England was spending 15 million pounds daily during the last war. Even when the war is not on, large amounts are spent on preparing for it or on adopting means for its prevention. War has been one of the main factors responsible for increasing public expenditure. 7. Provision of public utility services. Another important cause of increase in public expenditure is the provision of more and more public utility services, example, water, electricity, and transport services. It is now realized that some of the important wants of man can be satisfied more efficiently and economically if these are supplied collectively rather than each individual making his own arrangements. It is not considered desirable or economical that in a town there should be different companies supplying these services on a competitive basis. However, these public utility services are best provided by the state government or local authority. Naturally, the public expenditure goes up. 8. Expansion in social services. In modern times, there has been a remarkable expansion in social services like education, public health measures, and medical aid. Expansion in educational facilities has led to the establishment of schools, colleges, and technical institutions in very large numbers. The number of hospitals and medical colleges has multiplied manifold. Public health and sanitary measures are taken on a vast scale. They also undertake slum clearance programs. Expenditure on these social services is also regarded as productive investment since it leads to increase in income and employment. Such expenditure builds up what is called human capital. 9. As Musgrave observes, efficient product mix between private and social good changes as per capita income rises, and this change involves a rising share of social goods.
Reference note: Musgrave R.A. and Musgrave P.G. Public Finance in Theory and Practice, 1973, p. 126.
In other words, when the GNP or per capita income rises, it indicates the transformation of an economy from an agricultural or low income state to an industrial or high income state. When this happens, the output of social goods, that is, goods for the society as a whole, increases and public expenditure must inevitably go up. 10. Technological changes. Technological inventions call for larger or new production in the public sector because it happens that improvements in techniques can be best exploited by the state. For instance, invention of internal combustion gave rise to a massive automobile industry necessitating the construction and improvement of highways. The state expenditure naturally goes with the expansion of the public sector. 11. Expansion of public sector. Socialistic tendencies have in modern times resulted in the expansion of the public sector. As a consequence, public expenditure has gone very high. 12. Defective financial and civil administration. Not a small increase in public expenditure is due to defective financial and civil administration. Duplication and unnecessary multiplication of governmental agencies is not uncommon. Wrong allocation of resources and functions can also lead to extravagance. A lax control over public expenditure swells it to an unnecessarily high figure. 13. Political and social factors. Political development and changing social views have led to a great expansion of the public sector and increase in public expenditure. In a democratic state, there are several political parties and each party is anxious to enlist the support of the people. The supporters constantly clamor for concessions and benefits at the expense of public fund. From every corner of the country and from every section comes the call for more and more amenities. Page number 774. Ministers are asked by the people to open colleges in their home districts. Governments have thus been pressed by the democratic forces to take upon themselves more and more functions. According to Wagner's law of increasing state activity, government's functions have increased both intensively and extensively. The old functions are being performed more thoroughly and many new functions are being undertaken. 14. Welfare activities and growth of transfer expenditure. All modern states wish to make liberal provision for social security schemes or social insurance, example, free medical aid, free education, old age pensions, provident fund schemes, etc. These are known as transfers or transfer expenditure. These transfers were unimportant up to the 30s, but they have phenomenally grown since then. All such transfers have substantially pushed up the state budgets. 15. Requirements of full employment. A modern state is anxious to underwrite full employment. To provide employment for all, the state must launch ambitious schemes of public works and public undertakings. Naturally, the public expenditure must shoot up. 16. Economic development. In all countries, whether developed or underdeveloped, the states have given top priority to economic development. The developed countries are desirous to raise their standard of living still higher, whereas the underdeveloped countries are anxious to attain a certain minimum standard. Economic development is a very costly affair. Lots of money has to be spent on economic and social overheads, and many costly projects have to be undertaken. Measures have to be taken for the development of agriculture and industry and so on. There is no wonder, therefore, that the size of the state budgets have become swollen everywhere. Conclusion. Alfred Buehler says in his Public Finance, to some persons, a relative increase in public expenditure seems a calamity. To others, it is a cause of rejoicing, and to still others, it's a matter of indifference. No definite percentage of national income can be named as the proper limit for the cost of government, since such a limit must depend upon relative circumstances. The proper size of the expenditure depends on the desires and needs of a community, the effects of government spending, and the revenues supporting the spending, the willingness of the population to be taxed, existing burdens of taxation, the resources and population of a community, the distribution of wealth and incomes, the stage of economic development, and other variables. The real issue is the advisability of a particular expenditure of a particular government at a particular time. Revenue and capital expenditure. public expenditure has been classified into revenue and capital expenditure. Revenue expenditure is current expenditure. Example, administrative and maintenance expenditure. This expenditure is of a recurring type, while capital expenditure is of capital nature and is incurred once and for all. It is a non-recurring expenditure, example, expenditure on building multipurpose projects or on setting up big factories like steel plants, money spent on land, machinery and equipment, development and non-development expenditure. Money spent on the maintenance of internal security, law and order, that is, on police, jails and judiciary, and money spent on the army to provide defense against aggression is generally regarded as non-developmental. Whereas the developmental expenditure includes expenditure on irrigation projects, rail and road transport, expenditure on agricultural and industrial development, and so on. Even expenditure on education and research is also regarded as developmental. Principles of public expenditure. Just as there are well-known canons of taxation, similarly, it is possible to formulate some canons or principles to which prudent public expenditure should conform. These principles are: Principle of maximum social benefit. It is necessary that all public expenditure should satisfy one fundamental test, that is, that of maximum social advantage. That is, the government should discover and maintain an optimum level of public expenditure by balancing social benefits and social costs. Page number 775. Every rupee spent by a government must have as its aim the promotion of the maximum welfare of the society as a whole. Care has to be taken that public funds are not utilized for the benefit of a particular group or a section of society. The aim is the general welfare. The government exists for the benefit of the governed and the jurisdiction. And the justification of the government expenditure is therefore to be sought in the benefit of the community as a whole. The principle of maximum social advantage has already been discussed in the previous chapter. Canon of Economy. Although the aim of public expenditure is to maximize the social benefit, yet it does not exonerate the government from exercising the utmost economy in its expenditure. Economy does not mean niggardliness. It only means that extravagance and waste of all types should be avoided. Public expenditure has great potentiality for public good, but it may also prove injurious and wasteful. In the words of Coleridge, the sun may draw up the moisture from the river. The sun may draw up the moisture from the river, the morass, and the ocean to be given back in general showers to the garden, the pasture and the cornfield, but it may likewise force away the moisture from the fields of tillage to drop it on the stagnant pool, the saturated swamp, or the unprofitable sand waste.
Reference note: MacGregor, Public Aspects of Finance, 1939, p. 67.
Thus, if revenue collected from the taxpayer is heedlessly spent, it would be obviously uneconomical. To satisfy the canon of economy, it will be necessary to avoid all duplication of expenditure and overlapping of authorities. Further, public expenditure should not adversely affect saving. In case the government actively damaged the individual's will or power to save, it would be repugnant to the canon of economy. Canon of Sanction. Another important principle of public expenditure is that before it is actually incurred, it should be sanctioned by a competent authority. Unauthorized spending is bound to lead to extravagance and overspending. It also means that the amount must be spent on the purpose for which it was sanctioned. Allied to the canon of sanction, there is another, that is, auditing. Not only is previous for sanction of public expenditure essential, but a post-mortem examination is equally imperative. That is, all the public accounts at the end of the year should be properly audited to see that the amounts have not been misspent or misappropriated. Canon of elasticity. Another sane principle of public expenditure is that it should be fairly elastic. It should be possible for public authorities to vary the expenditure according to need or circumstances. A rigid level of expenditure may prove a source of trouble and embarrassment in bad times. Alteration in the upward direction is not difficult. It is easy, rather tempting, to increase the scale of expenditure. But elasticity is needed most in the downward direction. When the economy axe is applied, it is a very painful process. Retrenchment of a widespread character creates serious social discontent. It is very necessary, therefore, that when the scale of public expenditure has to be increased, it should be increased gradually. A short spell of prosperity should not lead to long-term commitments. A fair degree of elasticity is essential if a financial breakdown is to be avoided at a time of shrinking revenue. No adverse influence on production or distribution. It is also necessary to ensure that public expenditure should exercise a healthy influence both on production and distribution of wealth in the community. It should stimulate productive activity so that income and employment in the country increases and it may be possible to raise the standard of living. But this object of raising of the living standards of the masses will be served only if wealth is evenly distributed. If newly created wealth goes to enrich the already rich, the purpose is not served. Public expenditure should aim at reducing the inequalities of wealth distribution. Principle of surplus. It is considered a sound or orthodox principle of public expenditure that as far as possible, public expenditure should be kept well within the revenue of the state so that a surplus is left at the end of the year. Page number 776. In other words, the government should avoid a deficit budget. But the modern economists, especially Keynes, do not regard surplus budgeting as a virtue. Rather, deficit budgeting is more useful in raising the levels of income and employment in the underdeveloped countries. All the same, budget deficits running over a series of years are considered bad for the financial stability of the country. Promotion of economic growth and stability. In modern times, a very important principle of public expenditure is that it should promote economic development and economic stability directly or indirectly. No public expenditure should impair the economy's potentialities for economic growth. In all, public expenditure requirements of economic growth and economic stability or avoiding economic fluctuations are kept in the forefront. Conclusion. Public expenditure to be beneficial must conform as far as possible to the principles of enumerated. Public expenditure to be beneficial must conform as far as possible to the principles enumerated above. But all the prevailing principle is that of functional finance. That is, public expenditure should be directed to the achievement of economic and social objectives in which the country may have set its heart. Effects of public expenditure. Effects on production. There is a type of public expenditure which is regarded as unproductive. This refers to expenditure on the prosecution of or for the preparation for a war. This belief, however, is not entirely correct. Military expenditure, if not overdone, does indirectly assist production by ensuring to the community an ordered economic life. Actually, it is overdone and a great deal of military expenditure may be regarded as unproductive. Also, we have to admit that a short and successful war may bring to the nation much economic gain by securing some economic privileges. In the same manner, by preventing an invasion of the country, the armed forces may enable the community to avoid an economic loss. Thus, military expenditure may be considered indirectly or broadly productive. Most of the public expenditure is productive directly or indirectly. Governments in every country are running commercial enterprises which are directly productive. The Indian government has created solid and lucrative assets in the form of canals and railways. The state enterprises make a direct contribution to production in the community. In the same manner, schemes of reclamation and afforestation are also directly productive. In all these ways, the level of employment in the country goes up. A great deal of public expenditure is, however, only indirectly productive. In this connection, we may consider the effects of public expenditure on A. Power to work and save. B. Will to work and save. C. Diversion of resources as between employments and localities. And D. The total volume of employment and income. As for power to work and save, it may be pointed out that much of the socially desirable public expenditure incurred by modern governments undoubtedly increases the community's productive power and consequently also the power to save. Such expenditure includes the provision of means of communication and transport, education, public health, scientific research and industrial research, controlling of human, animal and plant diseases, and expenditure on social insurance like health insurance, unemployment insurance and old age pensions. As for the will to work and save, much depends on the character of public expenditure and the policy governing it. By giving the people expectation of future benefits from public expenditure, it may blunt the edge of the desire to work and save. The granting of old age pension, insurance against sickness and unemployment, and provision of education at the state expense may make the people indifferent towards the future and make them neglect savings. This is bound to affect adversely exertions in the present. People will work less. But if such expenditure is kept within proper limits and it helps the really helpless, the check to work and saving may be negligible. Page number 777. Regarding the diversion of resources as between employments and localities, the public expenditure may have distinctly a beneficial effect on production. Through the system of bounties and subsidies, a government may succeed in diverting resources to hitherto neglected channels and thus create new industries. In the same manner, by spending money on the development of backward areas, the government may add to the total production in the country. A wisely conducted policy of public borrowing stimulates saving and the habit of investment in the community, which are certainly beneficial to production. It also diverts resources into channels which may add considerably to the wealth of the community. We may thus safely conclude that wise public expenditure exerts a very wholesome influence on production. It assists production indirectly by adding to the power to work and save, and by a profitable diversion of resources. This is besides taking up directly the work of production through state enterprises. Till recently, the discussion of the effects of public expenditure was mostly confined to the indirect effects discussed above. However, with the Keynesian revolution, it has come to be realized that public expenditure can exercise directly an important influence on the level of economic activity, accelerate economic growth, and help maintain economic stability. We have seen previously that unemployment in the Keynesian system is due to the deficiency of effective demand. Public expenditure has a direct influence on the level of effective demand. An increase in public expenditure during a depression helps to create more demand and thereby increases the level of output and employment. Indeed, at times this direct effect may outweigh the indirect effects of public expenditure discussed above. See also role of public finance in a developing economy in the previous chapter. Conclusion. Thus, public expenditure increases production, A, by improving the productive efficiency of the workers, B, by providing economic and social overheads, C, by giving direct assistance in the form of loans, grants and subsidies and technical advice, and D, by investment in public enterprises. Besides raising the level of production, public expenditure can influence the pattern of production or composition of output. Effects on distribution. Public expenditure can have a very wholesome influence on the distribution of wealth in the community. It can reduce inequalities of incomes. It is an admitted fact that the benefit to the poor from the state activities is far greater than to the rich. A rich man can protect himself. He can make arrangements for the education and medical relief of himself and his family. But a poor man is helpless. It is therefore the poor man who benefits the most from the state activity. To this extent, the state expenditure seeks to bridge the gulf between the rich and the poor. There is a certain expenditure which benefits the poor exclusively and primarily. Example, poor relief, old age pensions and unemployment and sickness benefits. The benefits derived from such social services by the poor may be regarded as a net addition to their incomes. But when we remember that the revenue is obtained by taxing the rich, the conclusion is inescapable that inequalities of wealth distribution have been reduced to some extent. But much depends here again on the character of public expenditure and the policy underlying it. Just as there are proportional, progressive and regressive taxes, in the same manner the government grants may also be proportional, progressive and regressive. If public expenditure is really to make the distribution of wealth more even and fair, it must be progressive. It must be according to ability to receive or corresponding to ability to pay in taxation. Corresponding to the principle of minimum sacrifice in taxation, there is the principle of maximum benefit in public expenditure. Page number 778. Public expenditure must be so arranged as to confer a maximum benefit on the community as a whole. This is the guiding principle. Judged in this light, we can see that expenditure on debt services is regressive because it gives more income to the already rich. Granting of old age pensions and benefits of social insurance are progressive. If a government subsidizes the production of commodities largely consumed by the poor, it is progressive, otherwise regressive. We have also to consider the reaction of public expenditure on individual income. If a government grant reduces the individual's desire to work and save, it may lead to reduction of incomes of the beneficiaries. In this case, the inequalities of wealth distribution are not reduced. On the whole, public expenditure in modern times tends to make the distribution of wealth in the community more equitable. Effects on level of income and employment. We have discussed about the effects of public expenditure on production and distribution. We have also noticed that in modern times the sphere of state activity has very much widened. As a result, public expenditure on several new items has increased manifold. This public expenditure affects the level of income and employment in the country. Keynes has shown that the government can remove widespread unemployment during periods of depression through liberal public expenditure on public works. It can thus raise the level of income and employment in the country. Keynes showed that when the government increases its investment expenditure on public works, then the increase in the level of income and employment in the country will not be merely equal to increase in income and employment in those activities, but it will be many times more than this through what he has called the income multiplier. The value of this multiplier will depend on the marginal propensity to consume in the country. For instance, if the marginal propensity to consume is 2 by 3, the multiplier will be 3. And if the marginal propensity to consume is 3 by 4, the multiplier is 4, and so on. The value of the multiplier is found by the principle propounded by Keynes, thus, multiplier equals 1 by 1 minus MPC. If the value of the multiplier is 3, it would mean that if the government makes an additional investment of rupees 100 crores on public works, then the national income and output in the country will not increase only by rupees 100 crores, but equal to rupees 300 crores. In the same way, the volume of employment will not increase only as much as is provided by the public works launched by the government, but many times more. This happens because when government increases its investment expenditure, then at first employment increases in those works and the incomes of people employed in those works increase. Further, when these people spend their additional income on the purchase of consumers' goods, the demand for these goods increases, and to meet this increased demand, their production will have to be increased. To increase production, some more people will be offered employment. The effect of increase in public expenditure on the national income and employment is shown in the diagram, figure 61.1. In this diagram, the national income is shown on the x-axis and consumption and investment demand on the y-axis. OZ, making a 45 degree angle with x-axis, is the income line. As we have already read in the theory of income and employment, this 45 degree line is also called aggregate supply curve. The equilibrium level of income is determined at a point where this line, example aggregate supply curve, cuts the aggregate demand or consumption and investment demand curve, and employment level will be determined corresponding to this income level. In this diagram below, the aggregate demand curve C plus 1 cuts the aggregate supply curve OZ at E, according to which OY1 national income is determined. Page number 779. Now, if consumption and investment demand remains constant and the government does not increase its expenditure, then OY will remain the national income and correspondingly the level of employment. Rather, it is possible, and it happens during depression, that this level may go down owing to increase in aggregate demand, and there may be widespread unemployment in the country. Now, according to Keynes, the government should increase its expenditure in such a situation so that the level of national income and employment in the country may increase. In the above diagram, if the government increases investment expenditure by EH, the aggregate demand curve moves upwards as shown by the curve C plus I plus G. Now, this new aggregate demand curve C plus I plus G cuts the aggregate supply curve at F, and accordingly the national income increases to OY2. It will be seen that even though the government has increased its investment expenditure by EH, the national income has increased by Y1, Y2, which is many times more than the increase in investment. In this way, Keynes has shown that during depression, the government can remove unemployment by increasing its public expenditure. Thus, public expenditure can vitally influence the level of national income and employment in the country and maintain economic stability by eliminating economic fluctuations. Effect on income and employment in a developing economy. Above, we have explained the effect of public expenditure on income and employment in developed countries. That is, it is to ensure economic stability by eliminating economic fluctuations. The problem of developing economies is different. Here, the low level of income and employment is due not so much to deficiency of demand as in developed countries during depression, but to deficiency of capital stock. It is for the state to make up this deficiency through a wise policy relating to public expenditure. Public expenditure in developing economies is to be mainly directed to the acceleration of economic development. The government in a developing economy can, with adequate and properly directed public expenditure, build up the requisites of economic growth, that is, social and economic overheads or the required infrastructure, example, sound educational base, adequate public health measures, and medical aid to improve human capital in the form of physically strong and healthy and skilled labor. The government can also launch public enterprises and build up heavy and core industries of strategic importance. It can also promote agricultural development by making adequate provision for the supply of critical inputs in the form of irrigation facilities, fertilizers, improved seeds and pesticides. In these and many other ways, the public expenditure can be used as an instrument for raising the level of income and employment in the country. Through public expenditure, the government can raise the rate of capital formation in the country and thus promote economic development. It would provide employment and build up productive capacity of the economy. In India, we see that the government is spending a lot of money under the five-year plans on schemes of capital formation. It has spent crores of rupees on irrigation and power by undertaking multipurpose projects on roads, railways, on huge steel plants, machine-making industry, heavy engineering and heavy electrical industry, fertilizer industry and so on. This has substantially added to the volume of employment and productive capacity in the country. These are important steps towards removing unemployment and poverty in the country. For creating employment directly, the government in India has started special employment schemes. Rural public works programs have been launched to provide employment for the people in the rural areas. These public works included irrigation schemes, road construction, flood control, soil conservation schemes, etc. It is proposed to increase the substantially expenditure on these schemes during the fifth plan period. In this way, the government has created additional employment opportunities and added to people's incomes. To create opportunities for self-employment in the rural areas, the government has started special schemes. Page number 780. Small Farmers Development Agencies or SFDA have been set up which help the small farmers in getting improved seeds, fertilizers, pesticides, irrigation facilities, etc. They thus make their employment more productive and increase their incomes. Then there are agencies for marginal farmers and landless laborers or MFAL which impart them training in and provide finance for poultry, dairy, animal husbandry, etc. Thus, gainful employment is provided for such people and their earnings are increased. Similarly, to remove unemployment among the educated people and to provide them opportunities for self-employment, they are assisted through technical training and financial assistance to start small-scale industries. Financial aid is given directly by the state and also through the nationalized banks and other financial institutions set up for the purpose. Thus, the governments of underdeveloped countries like India, by increasing their expenditure on economic development and capital formation, can make valuable contribution towards increasing income and opportunities of employment in the country. Public expenditure in developing countries, therefore, plays a very vital role in raising the level of income and employment in the country. Role of public expenditure in a developing economy. Underdeveloped nations are keen on rapid economic development, which requires huge expenditure to be incurred in the various sectors of the economy. The private sector is either unable to find and invest these huge amounts, or it is unwilling because the return from such investments may be uncertain or long delayed. Hence, economic development has to depend almost entirely on public expenditure. Public expenditure, therefore, plays a vital role in economic development of an underdeveloped economy. Public expenditure promotes economic development in the following ways. Social and economic overheads. Economic development is handicapped in underdeveloped countries on account of the lack of the necessary infrastructure. Economic overheads like the roads and railways, irrigation and power projects are essential for speeding up economic development. Social overheads like hospitals, schools and colleges and technical institutions too are essential. Money for these things cannot come out of private sources. Public expenditure has to build up the economic and social overheads. Balanced regional growth. It is considered desirable to bring about a balanced regional growth. Special attention has to be paid to the development of backward areas and underdeveloped regions. This requires huge amounts for which reliance has to be placed on public expenditure. Development of agriculture and industry. Economic development is regarded synonymous with industrial development, but agricultural development provides the base and has to be given top priority. The government has to incur lot of expenditure in the agricultural sector, example, on irrigation and power, seed farms, fertilizer factories, warehouses, etc. And in the industrial sector, by setting up public enterprises like the steel plants, heavy electricals, heavy engineering, machine making factories, etc. All these enterprises are calculated to promote economic development. Exploitation and development of mineral resources. Minerals provide a base for further economic development. The government has to undertake schemes of exploration and development of essential minerals, example, coal and oil. Public expenditure has to play its role here too. Subsidies and grants. The central government gives grants to state governments and the state governments to local authorities to induce them to incur some desirable expenditure. Subsidies have also to be given to increase the production of certain goods, especially for export, to earn the much needed foreign exchange. Conclusion. Thus, public expenditure has to play a vital role in economic development. It is required to create and maintain conditions essential for economic growth. It must improve the climate for investment and provide incentives for savings. The private entrepreneurs have to be assisted and inspired in every possible manner to venture forth and launch industrial and commercial undertakings. Public expenditure creates the necessary environment for the expansion of private enterprise and initiative. Page number 781. The pure theory of public expenditure. The pure theory of public expenditure seeks to determine the optimum amount of public expenditure. Eric Lindahl sought to build a model for a simultaneous determination of the optimum amount of public expenditure and the optimum distribution of tax shares, both on benefit principles. The difficulty in this model was that the optimum tax structure could not be determined without knowing the optimum amount of public expenditure, nor could the optimum expenditure be determined independent of tax structure. The English economist developed an entirely different approach. These economists viewed the determination of public expenditure as a planning problem. They held the view that expenditure could be determined independent of revenue determination. Once the amount of expenditure has been determined, the revenue required to finance this expenditure could be determined without difficulty. Pijau and Dalton attempted the formulation of a theory of optimum budget incorporating both expenditure and taxation. The Pijau-Dalton approach is based on the assumption that the marginal social benefit of government expenditure, optimally distributed amongst different sectors, diminishes as the amount of expenditure increases, whereas the marginal social cost of taxation increases as the amount of taxation increases. Hence, with the expansion of public expenditure, we shall reach a break-even point where the social benefit derived from an additional amount of government expenditure is equal to the social cost of additional amount of taxation needed to finance this expenditure. Hence, it is inferred that the theory of determination of the public expenditure must be based on the benefit approach, particularly so in a normative theory of public finance, where the supply of public goods is so planned that the community derives the greatest attainable satisfaction within its budget restraints. Professor Musgrave has in fact given us the theory of public household, where the optimum amount of public expenditure is sought to be so determined that the community is able to reach its highest possible indifference curve. This theory is based on two important assumptions. 1. The preference patterns of individuals comprising the community for goods and services, as also leisure, have been known and determined. And 2. There is a given distribution of income in the community in the post-revenue expenditure situation, which is considered ideal, that is, the distribution branch of the budget is optimally determined. These assumptions are heroic in the sense that it is very difficult, rather impossible, to get the preferences of individuals revealed. But for planning of public expenditure, these revelations are a must. All the same, this theory of determination of public expenditure can be utilized as a guide to the determination and allocation of the two branches of the budget. Key terms: public expenditure, causes of increase in public expenditure, Wagner's law, principles of public expenditure, public expenditure and production and distribution. Questions. 1. Explain the Peacock-Wiseman hypothesis, how far it is applicable in developing countries. 2. What are the basic objectives of public expenditure in a developing economy? 3. Explain the main principles which should guide public expenditure in a growing economy. 4. Explain the causes of growth of public expenditure in modern times. Is this growth always justifiable? 5. Discuss how public expenditure influences production and distribution in various ways.